Welcome back. So our very own Martin Bradley sent me an email this week, and this is someone with his wife Jenny that really knows what it means to dwell in the Most High God because of their experience. So I've asked them to share that experience with us.
Hi, I'm Martin, this is Jenny, and Alex has asked us if we can tell you a little of our experience from when Jenny had a serious back problem early in our marriage. So Jen, when did it start?
It began when I was 20 years old, with pain in the tops of my legs, but gradually it developed into continuous pain in the top, middle and lower back, and we think now that it may have been caused by a car accident that we had when I was 18. The pain was so acute that standing for just 10 minutes would make me double over. Every day was a challenge to get through, as the pain never went away.
So were the doctors not able to help?
No. Over 7 years I had all the treatments available, physiotherapy, ultrasound, infrared, traction, cortisone injections, and especially made corset to support me, but none of them made the slightest difference. The back specialist could tell that my back muscles were in spasm from the pain, but he couldn't see why, and apologised that he couldn't do anything to help. The hospital sent me to a week's training on how to manage a back condition, and said that I'd have to learn to live with the pain for the rest of my life.
How bad did it get?
It got very bad. Our daughter Emma was born when I was 23 and it was becoming increasingly hard to look after her. In the end, Martin got a job in London so that we could move near to my parents. My mum came over every morning to dress Emma because I couldn't do that. Martin did every bath time because I couldn't lean over the bath. It got to the point that if I went out for a shopping trip to just one shop and returned home immediately, it would take about 3 weeks to recover. I spent most of my time sitting in a special chair and I wondered how on earth I'd ever get through my life here on earth.
How did you cope?
It was extremely tough. As far as I knew, I was going to be in pain every day for the rest of my life. And the only way I could cope with that was to cling on to Jesus and hope of heaven to come when all my pain and suffering would be gone. When there's nothing to look forward to in this life, then heaven does become very real. I decided to centre my thinking on Jesus and to love those around me, and I fully expected never to enjoy anything myself in life again.
Did your friends at church help?
They did try, but most didn't seem to cope with the fact that I wasn't getting better. They kept wanting me to say I was okay when I wasn't, and on one occasion our life group committed themselves to pray for me for a full week on a rota. But when their prayers weren't answered, they told me that there must be unconfessed sin in my life or I would have been healed. Having to cope with other people's opinions about me made it harder. I eventually realised that no one could fully understand what I was going through except Jesus. And I clung to him all the more and experienced his comfort and love, and this kept me going.
Meanwhile, I was struggling with the fact that Jenny hadn't been healed. I'd been taught that it was God's will to heal everyone immediately. You just needed enough faith. In fact, in this Bible, I still have listed all the verses that prove that it's God's will to heal everyone now. So when the unstoppable force of Jenny's deteriorating health met the immovable rock of my healing theology, the inevitable result was a theological train wreck from which it took me years to recover. As well as that, I remember the feeling that everything we had expected to do in life together had been taken away from us. So Jen, how did you recover?
Someone suggested I try chiropractic treatment, which was much less well known in those days, and that did begin to help. Over the space of 2 years, I was treated 3 times a week with manipulation that unlocked the tightness in my spine. The road to recovery was slow and painful, with setbacks along the way, but having had 7 years of daily pain, it felt like I was being given my life back again.
And how are you now?
Well, nearly 30 years later, I'm still living with the physical aftermath of that time, and I do have to exercise and keep my back moving, but I also carry the spiritual aftermath of that time. Clinging on to Jesus every day to cope with the pain brought me close to him in a way that nothing else could have done. I wouldn't have chosen to go through that experience, and I wouldn't choose it again, but I'm glad that I did go through it, because I learned that Jesus loves me and he died for me, even if my pain meant there was nothing I could do physically for him ever while I lived here on this earth. His arms were still held out towards me, longing to have me home with him one day, and I felt his enormous love for me every single day of those 7 painful years. He became more real and alive to me as he was my constant companion who never let me down. He made it possible to face each day.
So in Psalm 91, David says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Martin and Jenny, for sharing that with us. Verse 14 of the psalm reads, "Because he," and he referring to Jesus, but "because we are united in him," refers to us too. "Because he loves me," says the Lord, "I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Actually, the ESV translation, which is usually more accurate, uses "because he holds fast in love," and the RSV uses, actually just as Jenny did in that video, cling on, in love. So hold fast to the Lord, to Jesus in love. That is how we find rest from the fears of this world. Hold fast to Jesus. That is what it means to dwell in the Most High. But how can we be sure of God's protection? Verse 11 and 12 show us the answer. God's power used to protect those who love him. And just look down at verse 11 and 12. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." These days we tend to be very distrustful of people with great power, don't we? And that can certainly be argued. It's gone too far and helped the resurgence of populism. That's another story. It's no wonder that attitude exists. I mean, over and over again, we've had to witness the monstrosities that people with power are capable of, as over and over again, they use their power to their own advantage. Just look at Harvey Weinstein for just one example. It's that old line, "Power corrupts, an absolute power corrupts absolutely." But our God, the Almighty, the Most High, is the most powerful being. Satan knew that, and he was afraid. In Matthew 4, Satan, knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, actually applied these words in this psalm to Jesus. I mean, this is a golden opportunity for Satan. He knew from experience that the more power people had, the easier they tended to be to corrupt. So he tried to corrupt the Most High. He tried to corrupt Jesus. But unlike Harvey Weinstein and every other human being, powerful or otherwise, Jesus was incorruptible. As he was nailed to the cross in excruciating pain and humiliation, he could have called on an army of angels to save himself, but instead he laid aside his power for us. On the cross, Jesus chose to become our participant in the punishment of the wicked, so that those who trust in him are, though wicked, mere observers of that punishment. One of my favourite films is Christopher Nolan's multiple Oscar-winning Dunkirk. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't, it's an absolute triumph. I mean, right from the first shot, it grabs you and it just doesn't let you go until the credits roll. But the film tells a story of shock horror, the extraordinary escape of the British army from the French beaches of Dunkirk. The situation: the Nazi war machine has driven the British and French armies to the sea. The army are now exiled in Dunkirk Beach, trapped, awaiting their fate as the enemy move in to finish them off. They are cut off from home and cut off from the mainland, now very much enemy territory. They truly are exiles. This is the situation in the clip I'm going to show you from the film. Until the Admiral, played masterfully by Sir Kenneth Branagh, spots something on the horizon.
soon. Home.
Arrangement of that Elgar piece, and our hearts are roused with it, right, as the miracle the exiles need comes in the form of citizen boats crossing the channel to take every last exile they can save back to their true home and their refuge. Admiral Kenneth knows their exiles, and it's that which leads the line which I dare say will become iconic in film history. What do you see? Home. They knew they were exiles. They knew they needed to be home. And home came for them. Home came for them. So let's not seek refuge in our homes, our plans, our achievements. That's why there's such panic in this pandemic. People are realizing those things offer no refuge from this broken world. But to dwell in the Most High means to find true refuge from anxiety as we trust the course of our lives to God, as we shelter in the shadow of the Almighty. Find refuge in God's protective power that we have seen ultimately fulfilled by Jesus on the cross, the true serpent crusher, see that in verse 13, and hold fast in love to the Lord who, look at verse 15 onwards, the Lord who rescues us, who protects us, who answers our calls, who is with us in trouble, who will deliver us and honour us, who with long life will satisfy us and has shown us his salvation. God's refuge and fortress are only temporary shelters for this life, because when Jesus comes again, he will bring our real home down to us. Home will come for us. And when he does, we will no longer be exiles in this fallen world, but we will be home in our eternal dwelling place, the new creation of the Almighty. Eternal life in a perfect world. That's what's on offer. If you will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'm going to pray for us as we finish. Lord, you are the Most High. You are the Almighty. Thank you that you offer us refuge. Thank you that we do not need to fear this fallen world. Thank you most of all that in your Son Jesus, you give us refuge from the punishment of the wicked. Amen.